نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، الحمد لله in this gathering there are more of us that are related to the knowledge of Deen in the imparting of it or the learning of it, and otherwise we are all duty bound to seek the knowledge of Deen, because our actions cannot be correct if we don't have ilm of Deen. A simple illustration is that a person knows that he's got to make wudu before namaz or for the salah to be correct, but if he doesn't have the knowledge regarding the faraid of wudu, then okay, maybe as far as the sunnah of wudu are concerned, it is understood that if those are not fulfilled, then it would not affect the wudu itself or the existence of wudu, but rather the thawab that is supposed to have been attained via that wudu that is made by adhering to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will yield more rewards. But however, the wudu itself will be accepted, and whatever is dependent on such a type of action of ibadat, that is the wudu, that can be done like salah, will be able to be performed with that wudu in which only the faraid have been taken care of. So however, we are duty bound to learn the ahkam of Deen, the knowledge that is pertaining to our masail that we need. Of course, let that the masail of Deen and the knowledge of Deen is very vast, and for one to attain all that, it is not possible at one time, and probably will not be even able to cover all these aspects that in every field that a person is aware of every masala. So to the extent that those actions of Deen or those ahkam of Allah Ta'ala are farz on a person, then his knowledge related to those aspects of Deen is necessary. Salah is farz on a person, so those masail that are pertaining to salah, it is necessary for the person to know, otherwise his ibadat is going to be incorrect. But in that point in time, the masail related to zakat may not be necessary for him to know, because zakat is not yet farz on him. But the day that zakat becomes farz on him, then it is necessary for him to know those masail that pertain to zakat. Or similarly, he just knows this much, that when hajj becomes farz on him, then a person has got a certain amount of wealth, and then hajj becomes farz on him. So then he needs to, well, once up to that time, that is all that he needs. But when hajj becomes farz on him, then he needs to know what the faraiz and what the necessary aspects of the hajj are. The knowledge pertaining to hajj he needs to have. So however, we have those that are pursuing the deen of Allah Ta'ala, the knowledge of deen, ilm-e-deen. There are those that are imparting the knowledge of deen. So related to this, this is something that we will discuss quickly, and that is that generally it is our habit that when we part from one another, or sometimes on other occasions, like when a person has just completed his studies, or when he is going on a holiday, or the madrasa is closing, etc., when there's occasions of parting from one another, then we generally seek advice. We seek advice. And Other than that, there are other occasions when we come to know of some pious person, some learned person that is in the area or that has come to the town, or to the city, to our locality, and we know he is a senior person as far as maybe ilm is concerned, knowledge is concerned, taqwa is concerned. Then either we go there into his company and seek du'as from him, request du'as, or then if it is related to ilm al-deen, then sometimes advice is sought. So from amongst the tablighi elders, there's one great alim of deen, Mawlana Ahmad Lat Sahib. When he completed his alim's course, so he travelled and to meet one great personality of the time, a great alim of deen and a great scholar of deen. And that was Hazmul Alim Yasab Nadwi rahimahullah ta'ala, whom Allah ta'ala had given great acceptance, especially in the Arab world. Allah ta'ala had given him a unique type of acceptance, that although he was a Hindi, meaning came from Hindustan or from India, and we generally, of course, they downplay for whatever reasons, but there are those few selected ulama that whom they have respect for. And as Mawlana Miyasab Nadawi rahimahullah ta'ala was one from amongst those whom they had great respect for, because of his writings, because of the kitab that he had written, especially in the Arabic language. And there was one very important kitab that Hazrat Ruh had written, which had a great impact on the Arabs as such, and those that read that particular kitab, and that was Madha Khasir al-Alam bin Hitat al-Muslimin, and that this rise and decline of the Muslim Ummah, what impact did it have on just not the Muslim Ummah, but on the entire globally, what impact has this rise and decline of Islam and the Muslims had on the globally. So this gained him great acceptance as well. And we find that in many institutions and universities and whatever, they had him on the board as well. So however, as a small Ahmad Laza, he travelled to Alim Yasab Nadwi rahimahullah ta'ala, seeking advice, and give me some advice, that I've just completed my career now, and I need some advice as far as my future is concerned. So inshallah, in just a few minutes, share those advices that Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Mawlana Ali Miyasab Rahmatullah Ali, shared with this young alim that has just qualified. It is for me, it is for all of us. The first one, he told him, he said, harkas o nakas ke haath mat bik jana, harkas o nakas ke haath mat bik jana, basically meaning that don't sell yourself to anyone and everyone. You know, someone comes out with some new idea and some new philosophy, and then you become impressed with that and you become the follower of that, or you become one that promotes that. Tomorrow someone else will come out with some other new philosophy, then you find it very impressive, and next thing is that you become one that is propagating what that person is. And this is a time of fitnas that sometimes they are so subtle that we are unable to pick them up, because we do not have that imani firasat. So outwardly, just the ability of the person to express himself so well in his writing. So because the words or the structure and the method, the style, the writing style is such that it is captivating. It is captivating. So what happens is the person becomes a victim of that. He doesn't understand what's happening in between, and next thing he is entrapped in that fitna. So therefore, some questioned Mawlana Taqi Usmani Sahib, Dawud Barakatuhum, regarding some particular fitna that how is it that, you know, people of intelligence, how is it that people, and this was particularly referring to Maududi, how is it that people get affected, and those that have got intelligence and are affected by his writings and are drawn into his circle, whereas Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with ilm and knowledge. So Mawlana asked this alim that was querying, he said, have you read this person's works? Have you read his books? Have you read his kitabs? He said, no, I haven't read his kitabs. So he said, well, that is the thing that has been the trap. Because of his writing ability that Allah Ta'ala had given him, he could convince a person. Like in some of our mashayikh regarding Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali, it is mentioned that Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali mentioned regarding Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali, when he asked those people that were seated there when Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali came to his majlis, so after he left, he asked his student, you know who this person was? And he said, no, we don't know. And then he introduced him, and then he mentioned to his students that if he wants to prove this pillar that is made of gold, he will prove it to you, and you think it is made of gold. That was the ability that Allah Ta'ala had blessed him, Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali, with. That is how convincing he could be. So those that sometimes in batil and in gumrahi and in that which takes away from Allah Ta'ala, sometimes Allah Ta'ala blesses them also with that type of writing abilities, speaking abilities and whatever, or you know, the good orators, and they can carry the crowd away. So Hazrat Taqisam Rahmatullah Da'ud Barakatuh, he mentions, he said that have you read this person's works? It is only when you read the person's work that you realize how captivating it is. So however, as far as these fitnas are concerned, we need to be on our guard. And that is why we find that our kabir, and especially in our time and around here, if we have to attend the majalis of Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Sahib Da'ud Barakatuh, quite often he stresses on this, that the tariq of our salaf is salihin, of our kabir, that hold steadfast onto that. Because we haven't had, we don't have our own experience. And he also mentions that if something new that is coming into the marketplace, one is something that is tried and tested, and you've had experience with, like the akabir, our seniors, they've spent their lives in a certain way, and the results of that are before our eyes, and they've gone from this world, and we've seen how they've gone. Several of them on the same route, on the same way, the same tariq, and the results are all before us. Now someone that is coming in new, with some new philosophy, some new way, some new tariq, and he's selling that to us. Now we are not saying that every new way is going to be something that is dhalal. But do we have the ability to analyze those things? Sometimes it is so subtle that we only realize we're in the midst of it, and then to come out of it, if it is not for the fadl and grace of Allah Ta'ala, then the person goes headlong into this fitna. So therefore, it is so important for us that, especially if we have little or no knowledge, then the only thing that we should be doing is holding steadfast onto our akabir's knowledge, onto the knowledge and to those ways that have been shown to us by our akabir. That is why you will find, I've observed in some muftis of our country, that if there is a fatwa, if there's a question, then instead of me giving my own tahqiq and my research, and this is what my research is, if this is found, like say if it's someone that is as Bataluh, as Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, so it's called Fatawa Mahmoodiya, this is the question, this is the answer from Fatawa Mahmoodiya. But I depend on that whatever the research there is, and I've got trust in Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, so he's given this answer, so that is the answer. Now if anyone was know anything further, that this is the fatwa of Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was an accepted, and certainly he was a grand mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband. And he was that person that Hazrat Khalid Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was bayat to Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. There's something unique about this relationship, that there wasn't much of an age difference between Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith and Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And generally when the Shaykh is young and the Murid is also young, there's a type of, a barrier for the spiritual progress. But in this particular case, Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentions that I deliberately chose the Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah Ali. Why? He says, the Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah Ali, between myself and him, of course, there wasn't that much of an age gap or whatever. But he said, for this reason, that because the Shaykhul Hadith was relatively younger, it was with this intention that I will have a longer relationship with the Shaykh. Whereas a Shaykh that is more senior and older, then whose lifespan probably will be shorter. Now here, the person that is young, and of course, must be from the Ahli Dil, must be from those that are Mashaykh Haqqa, must be from amongst those in whom his Akabir or that person's Akabir have placed a trust that no, this person has got this ability, and then he's given that responsibility. So now I've built up my relationship with him. Why? Now look at this, at the ulum of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when it comes to ulum hadith and that, tasawwuf. And as Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with such faqahat and such understanding of the deen of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that you find that in spite of the fact that Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali on the one side is a great muhaddith, but when it comes to masail, then he's finding out from Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. On one occasion, the type of relationship that existed in spite of both of them being that high in knowledge and possessors of that type of ilm and also taqwa as well. So on one occasion, Shaykhul Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, with his entourage, invited somewhere into someone's bar, into someone's orchard. So they ended up there, and there were some melons or something that we put forward, that we presented to these guests, Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah Ali, and the other guests, which amongst whom was Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali as well. So this was somewhere on the outskirts of Madinah Tayyiba. So after this was presented, so everyone began eating, and Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali didn't eat. So Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah Ali, he just said to us, Mufti Sahib, that is presented to us, person has so much of muhabbat, so partake, eat something. So maybe after being prompted once or twice, then Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali brought it to the notice of Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah Ali that he is in the state of Rosa. So the Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah Ali mentioned to Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah something to the effect that this is the fruit of Madinah Tayyibah, you won't get it again. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib, being the Murid, maintained silence. And when they were leaving there, the guests came to know by then that Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had roza. So he made a small parcel and he gave it for Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali to eat later on. So then Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib was a very jovial person as well. So he mentioned, Alhamdulillah, see Hazrat, I got the fruit of Madinah Tayyiba, and I got the roza of Madinah Tayyiba also. I got the fruit of Madinah Tayyiba, and I wasn't deprived of the fruit of Madinah Tayyiba, and also I was blessed with the roza of Madinah Tayyiba. I didn't break the roza, so I was blessed with both. So these are those personalities. So Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, being of that caliber, Hazrat Khalid Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali first was teaching in Kanpur. There was one place he was teaching there. So Hazrat Khalid Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali from Darul Ulum Deoband came to Saharanpur to Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah Ali, requesting him to intercede on behalf of Darul Uloom Deoband to get Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali to come to Darul Uloom Deoband. What knowledge he must have got in order to, for them to come and seek from us, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah, us, Sheikh Radi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, to intercede on their behalf. And because there was a relationship of Sheikh and Murid here, so he said maybe he would better take to what the Sheikh al Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says rather than going to him directly. So in any case, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, a long story, when he gets to Darul Uloom Deoband, so he is crying there profusely, and so when he is asked that why are you crying, this is an occasion of happiness because you are blessed with that position that you are the Sadr Mufti and the Chief Mufti of such a famous institute and well known institute and mother institute and the rest of it. So he said, I'm not crying over the reason for my crying is this, that I'm thinking that has the level of knowledge has it come so low that today a person like me is needed in this Darul Uloom? Has that level come so low that a person as low as myself that doesn't have knowledge, that he is needed in a place like this? So however, just coming back very quickly to the incident itself of Mawlana Ahmad Lahat Sahib, one was Hazrat Mawlana Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentions that harkas o nakas ke haath mat bik jana, that is number one, that don't sell yourself to be alert. The second he says, ittiba sunnat, that be very conscious about ittiba of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in everything you do. And then the third aspect he mentioned is that jahan kahi bhi tum jao to khadim ban kar rehna makhdoom ban kar mat rehna, that wherever you go and whatever responsibilities you are given, then treat yourself as a khadim, as a servant. Don't think yourself to be makhdoom, that everyone must serve me, that now because I've got this position of imamat or I'm an ustad or something, so now everyone must be in my service all the time. They must come and say, Hazrat this and Hazrat that, what your needs. That is not what you should be looking forward to, but stay as a khadim. See where the needs are. Someone is in need. Someone has passed away. Someone has got some problem. Someone has got some difficulty. Someone needs to know some masala. Whatever it is, reach out to the people. To khadim ban kar ke rehna, makhdoom ban kar mat rehna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand these advices of these seniors, and especially when the need comes and when we go out into the world, may Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of implementing. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك.